Tonight, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Power.
Went about doing good and healing. All. That kind of goes against some people's doctrine, doesn't it? It doesn't heal everybody. Well, he did. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. So, Father, I thank you for the privilege that I get to share this truth, standing at the table of the Lord, representation of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. What an honor, what a privilege. I pray tonight all of us recognize how privileged we are, that we come to your table, that we get to celebrate our redemption, our forgiveness, our health, our healing. And I pray your Holy Spirit makes this truth live in each of us, to the honor and the glory of the Son of the living God, Jesus himself. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Focused Forward, part four. And I was thinking about this service last week. And I said, I'm in this series, Lord. How's this going to fit together with your table? He said, not a problem. It works beautifully. So in this middle of this series, I want to bring to you this truth about the table of the Lord. We must move in the power of God as the church of Jesus Christ. We cannot move in just our own abilities or strengths. If there is a weakness in the church in the Western culture, it's our dependence on our own ability and our own strength, as opposed to the church throughout the rest of the world. In their desperation, they recognize their dependence on the power of the Lord. And we must move in the power of God if we're going to have any impact in our culture. Because there is health and healing at the table of the Lord. So the Lord declares over his people, I am healing my people. I'm healing. And in healing, it's more than body. It has to do with mind and spirit, emotions. Some of them suffering needs. In your suffering of needs, recognize that you want to give the Lord praise in the middle of your need, in the middle of your suffering. So while you're going through a struggle, remember in the middle of it to stop, because we have a tendency to overwhelm ourselves and God with our complaints, and stop and give God praise. He's healing us at Calvary because we are not just going to go to another level. Because when you go to another level, just think of it, you're only climbing one flight of stairs. No, we're going into a whole new dimension, one like we haven't seen, but what we prayed for. And God will reveal himself as you have never had him been revealed to you in your life. We've come out of Egypt, just like the Israelis did, and we're echoing the same pattern, the same theme, the same steps they took coming out of their bondage. Look, we're coming out of Egypt, and God blessed his people who were once enslaved and held in bondage. And God is completing the unshakable for his people. And I'm talking about that on Wednesday nights. And what are you fighting for? And we're talking about God making his people in the midst of the worst of conditions an unshakable, that's his word, unshakable people. And so he will do his work, and it happens at his table. Jesus came to restore us to the Father, and that includes our being healed. Amen? So when we come to the table, come following what his word says about the Lord's Supper. And again, we go back. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, say how many?
All
who were oppressed by the devil. That's an interesting thought that the Holy Spirit inserted into that sentence. For God was with him. And understand, the work of demons can cause physical infirmity. The work of devils can cause physical infirmity. But we're going for a stop to that tonight and for a halt to that tonight, rebuking their power in the name of Jesus. So you get to walk in liberty and in health. Jesus was healing constantly throughout his ministry. And when God brought his people out of Egypt to bring them to the promised land, he made sure none of them started that journey sick. Hear it. He brought Israel forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That's a powerful statement. They urgently asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and clothing, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked, and they stripped the Egyptians of those things. So look at the sequence of how this worked. The enslaved Israelis left Egypt with wealth, and there was not one sick among their tribes. Now, let's go to the New Testament. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So let's go on a journey toward healing tonight. There'll be healing in your body tonight. How many need healing in your body? So be in prayer, and let's be humbled before the Lord. Jesus said this about his table: this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we are to take communion often. Say often. In remembrance of me. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Sleep means premature death. That's the context of that verse. I will take this moment to rebuke premature death. The angel of death was headed in your direction, but in Jesus' name, I call an end to that and for an extension of your life. Who receives that tonight? We do discern the body of the Lord. Therefore, I speak life to you, and it's his life, abundant life, in Jesus' name. So thank the Lord for life. Death will not come before God's appointed time. That's so important. I have to share it with you. Rest, therefore, in the Lord. It's rest. Even if you don't feel healed, it's done. It's not about how you feel. It's about the perspective of what you believe. So speak it. It's done. Thank you. Rest of you, say it. It's done. And Paul is saying, for this reason. He did not say for these reasons. He said for this reason. This reason. And I believe I can safely say there are Christians weak and sick, and some have died before their time, not discerning the body and the blood of Jesus. It was happening at the church in Corinth. It's still happening today. Because when you fail to discern this, and you think you're just eating a wafer, and you're drinking a little bit of grape juice, you are not walking in blessing. You are subject to the curse. To walk in health and wholeness, we must discern the body and the blood of Jesus. And in this special moment, this is never to be a casual moment. To walk in health, we must discern the body of Christ. Jesus said of himself, I am the living bread come down from God out of heaven. And then John says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. And secondly, what? Be in health. Just as your soul prospers. Look at the sequencing. Prosper in all things. Be in health. Second, as your soul prospers. Now, we quote that often, but catch the protocols, because they're the same protocols that the Israelis employed and God gave to them when they left Egypt. And this is more than just logos. This is a rhema word to me. The first thing God did for Israel when he brought them out of Egypt, he blessed them with wealth for purpose. And the purpose was to build his tabernacle, a house of worship. And after Jesus' baptism and temptation and then victory, he enters into the synagogue. And hear him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The first thing God wants to do is restore the poor, those beaten down, those abused, those poor in spirit, to prosper you. Then next, to be in health. Watch the sequence. Coming out of Egypt, there was none feeble among them. And Jesus says in the same verse, second part, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So in the new dimension, whether Old or New Testaments, the sequence and protocols are identical. God is blessing his people. He's prospering them. He's healing them as they draw closer to him. So God will assist you through members in the body of Christ who have some expertise when it comes to helping you with a budget. And the Scripture and the Holy Spirit together will help you recognize God will bless you when you put him first. Amen? So his divine favor to walk away from debt. Does anybody believe it's better to be debt-free? Amen? Amen? Plan to be a part of that. So there's supernatural healing manifesting, and you step into that. In his preset time, God is going to usher in his glory to his church. I said in the preset time, God is going to usher in his glory in his church. We might call it the third great awakening. My father's and father's father spiritually, going all the way back to the 50s. I was thinking about that with Jan Duke and the passing of her dad, who was married to the sister of Gordon Lindsay, of this great healing ministry organization that they founded back in the 40s and 50s. And what a fantastic move of the Spirit that was poured out upon those in that ministry, including people like Oral Roberts and William Branham and some of these great, great pioneers of charismatic renewal. There was the charismatic renewal that broke out in the late 60s, and some believed that that was going to be the third great awakening that was promised in Joel 2 and in Acts 2. And there have been some wonderful moves of the Holy Spirit from that day till now, but there currently is no national revival in the United States of America. There is a national revival in many other places on the planet, but not among the churches of America per se. Christianity in America has declined over the last couple of decades. While it's growing rapidly, the church everywhere else in the world, the church in America has been in decline. And the percentage of the population of the United States that attends church every weekend has grown smaller over the last decade rather than larger, like it's growing larger in other places on the planet. As I mentioned to you the other night, there are 33,000 people every day, 7 days a week, coming to know Jesus across the continent of Africa alone. It's an explosion of God's presence. So we sometimes are trying to ask God, well, when is our turn? When are we going to see a great awakening? We need to base our understanding then on what God says in his word. And he's got some great things to say in his word. Remember in Israel, the growing season for crops is different than it is here in the North American area. In Israel, when wheat is planted in the fall and it's harvested in the spring, that differs from where we are. The first rain is needed when the seeds are planted in the ground, causing them to germinate. The latter rain is needed just before the harvest in the spring to cause the grain to ripen so that there's a bountiful harvest. So let us live in awe of the Lord our God, Jeremiah 5, for he gives us rain each spring, that's the latter rain, and fall, the first rain, assuring us of a harvest when the time is right. Now, most theologians believe that the former rain, or the first rain, was at the outpouring at Pentecost in the upper room. It watered the word in the early church and brought about an explosion of the gospel all over the world. The latter rain in the natural was needed to ripen the grain and get it ready for the harvest to ensure you'd have a bountiful harvest. And so it will be in our last days. Are we going to see a latter rain outpouring? Amen. Great awakening in America? Are we? I believe we are. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for he makes the storm clouds, and he will send showers of rain, so every field becomes a lush pasture. The spring rain was the latter rain. It brought about the final harvest and the ripening of the harvest. And I'm believing God for a great outpouring of his Holy Spirit and a great awakening for the United States of America. And if you're believing that, somebody ought to shout amen. 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 Therefore, brothers, James writes, until the coming of the Lord, be patient. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit from the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. And we're looking forward to our turn before the return of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this, the glory of the Lord restored to the church. That's what I mean by a new dimension. And in that latter rain, that great awakening, listen, he prospers his people, he heals his people, but our job is to draw near, draw closer, sanctify ourselves, prepare our hearts first. And that's why we're told in the book of the Chronicles, we are to humble ourselves and we are to pray and turn from our wicked ways. Amen? Look at how all of this aligns itself in Scripture in the early church. Watch this unity. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, first rain, that was the fall rain. Listen, with one accord in one place. It was the early rain. And they were with what? One accord. And these were different people. They weren't all from the same group or same tribe. And then it goes on to say in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly. In other words, there was no deviation here in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So they learned the word from the apostles. They continued to hang together. And then in the breaking of bread and with prayers. Whatever God said was important, the early church made important. That's got to be restored to the church in North America. Whatever God says is important, we must make important. It's always the key. There's a combination of obedience and unity. And Jesus said, do this often in remembrance of me. That is important. The table of the Lord is important. And the result of that, in the very next verse, then fear came upon every soul. And it wasn't like God's going to swap me. It was a great reverence for God and honor of the Lord. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So watch. When we do this, we open the floodgates for signs and wonders and miracles. When we're obedient to the Lord, when we're in unity together, listen, and great reverence comes to us concerning the Lord, great things are going to start happening, signs and wonders and miracles. So it goes on to say in the next couple of verses, so continuing daily with what? One accord in the temple. So even though they had jobs and things to do with families, look, they did not put aside the gathering together. With one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So understand, they were in unity. They were together every possible time they could find. They were daily. They just didn't show up once a week or some once a month. They took communion every day. Another result. Gladness, there was simplicity, there was the sense of purity, they reverenced God, God was doing great things. We partake of the Lord's Supper in the church and we should. It is ordained of the Lord. We do it collectively, but you need to do this in your home every day. It brings life and life more abundantly. And I'm going to make a bold statement. This table, when taken appropriately, with great reverence for the Lord and its actual meanings, will add years to your life and life to your years. Does anybody want to live like that? Years to your life and life to your years. So let us discern the body of Christ, the fruit of the vine. His blood is for forgiveness. The bread, his body is for our healing. The blood is for forgiveness. Say, I am forgiven. Now watch this. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians, he tells the church there, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Christ's death and shedding of blood paid for our sins. Is anybody thankful for that? The penalty for our sins was nailed with Jesus to the cross. And we are forgiven. And if you don't discern that principle and revere the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, be humbled by his work for your redemption, you could grow sick and experience premature death, not discerning the body of Christ. In your being forgiven, you're given the ability to go boldly into the presence of the Father. Make your petitions known and not hanging your head down in shame. And the Holy Spirit is present to assist us in our daily sanctification. And what Pastor Michael preached this morning about getting the virus out of us by allowing the Holy Spirit's presence to grow in us and mature us and develop such strength in us that when that dog makes a noise on the other side of the fence, it's immediately squashed by the ever-present power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is present to assist us in our sanctification. But be sure to retain free access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. That's how I come before the Father. So listen, it says in Matthew 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Now, the disciples had no problem in the sense that they understood one of the things that Jesus was trying to help them understand. They didn't need a full-on explanation because they had Jewish history beside what they were seeing with Jesus. They had Passover truth that they had learned from childhood. And they understood the significance of this bread and the significance of the drink and the significance of the Passover meal, because during the Passover, there were four cups that were drinking and so that were taken in. And so when they understood this, they understood when the priest in the temple at Passover would lift the unleavened bread, he would shout to the people, behold the love of your God. So when Jesus picked up that bread, they got the significance that God loved them. And they also knew, watching Jesus for 3.5 years, they never saw a day he was under the weather. They never saw him miss church because he sneezed once on Saturday afternoon. He never had to ask someone to fill in for him because he was too sick to teach. He was feeling marvelous all the time. Every sick person ever brought to him was made whole. As a matter of fact, there was so much healing power and virtue in him, it flowed through him into his prayer shawl. And the sickly, dying woman, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And she was. Matthew 14, that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Because the anointing and the glory of the Lord so shone through Jesus that even the prayer shawl he wore, when touched in faith, brought healing. So Calvary, when you take the elements of his table with faith, reverence for his finished work, you will be made whole. Anybody want to be made whole tonight in every possible way? When you take of the bread, you are taking it in by faith. You are taking in his vitality. When you take that piece of bread by faith, you take in his vitality. You take in his healing power. You take in his wholeness. You take in his forgiveness through the fruit of the vine. So when you understand that, supernatural miracles happen when we reverence Jesus. We reverence his sacrifices. The early church understood this very plainly and clearly. That's why there was such fervor and such anointing and such power flowing through them, because it was tied to the fact that they had an alive, risen Christ's presence in their lives, and they reminded themselves every single day of it by sharing in the broken body and the shed blood. With that in mind, and I've never done this before. I have never done this in almost 25 years. The Holy Spirit impressed on me to do this, and I need to do it before this service gets too much further. To demonstrate our love and thanksgiving to the Lord for his body and his blood. I'm gonna take an extra offering tonight. How about that? Anybody scared? Because I don't do that very often, as you know. I'm very particular about making sure we don't overdo anything like that. So I'm gonna take an extra offering. I'm gonna ask you to do something in just a minute with that. So here's what I want you to do. To truly discern the body and blood of the Lord. Let me clarify. We are not buying healing. Okay? We are not buying healing. But we've got some extra projects we're trying to work on, and we need people to be givers at Calvary Christian Center to make sure that these things are taken care of. Now, there's some in ministry that have been guilty of that, buying healing. But on principle, this is a way in which we demonstrate that we comprehend what it cost Jesus to save us and heal us. It's called worship. And the word is made up of two other words called worth-ship. So it's not just a feeling I have that's good in a service or songs that I sing. Mm-mm. Or not a ritual I perform in the way I go about my honoring the Lord. It includes sacrifice. That's what the words worth-ship mean. When I truly honor the Lord for what he's done for me, there is an ascribing to him of my sacrifice worth-ship. So that's one thing we're going to do. The other thing I'm going to ask you to do tonight, before the evening is over, if you haven't done this, connect with anybody who you have an issue with and settle it. Because the scripture is very clear. We are to have no negative relationships. It was their unity and their obedience that gave church great power in its earliest in inception. The power of God will be released when we walk together in unity and we discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come into an agreement with God, and we have to release our hearts and release our attitudes to the Lord. We come into an agreement with the protocol of God in his word. Because after the Passover lamb was slain, the blood was applied, God prospered those who had been enslaved. He healed their diseases, and they walked out rejoicing. That's how that worked. Asking God to heal your body, heal your relationships, heal your finances, restore the joy of the Lord, to walk in a new dimension of his power and grace so that his kingdom can be advanced, letting his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his church becomes supernaturally unstoppable, unbreakable, and unshakable. So it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. That's what we're going to do tonight. It's going to be a Thanksgiving for his wonderful works to the children of men. And here's that word again. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's ascribing worth to him with sacrifice and declare his works with rejoicing. So, if there's an envelope nearby, you need to grab one. And, well, I didn't come prepared to give tonight, Pastor, because I gave this morning and I didn't think we're going to. Okay, that's fine. Take an envelope anyway and put on there, this is going to be my gift to the Lord. This is a special gift of thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, the results of discerning the Lord's body. Watch the protocols. They were in trouble. Anybody here have trouble in your life? Yeah? What did they do? They cried out to the Lord. If you've got real trouble, you cry out to the Lord. And what did he do? He saved them. He sent his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. And debt is a destruction, by the way. They are asked then to make thanksgiving, that's an offering, and to declare his works, to go out and tell people what God's done for me. And now let me jump into the New Testament in Acts 2 and 20, and 44. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Some of them sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those who had need. They worshiped together at the temple every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. See, these are earmarks of the New Testament church. It says they met in homes every day, and they did the Lord's Supper in their homes. They met in the temple on a daily basis. They shared the Lord's Supper there. Some of them sold possessions. In other words, what did they sell? They were selling extra pieces of property. They were selling stuff they weren't, jewelry they had parked somewhere they hadn't worn in years, and they took it out and they said, you know, I'm not using this. I'm going to sell it and give the money to the Lord and his work. I have more land than I can ever use in my lifetime. I'm going to sell some of that and bring that to the house of God. Oh, now watch. And they had joy, and there was great generosity in that church. God knows when there's a great spiritual awakening in America and a breakthrough in our hearts, generosity will be the order of the day. All while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And then watch. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It was an explosion of goodness of the Lord. I love this. We need that once again. That's a 25th anniversary message for the church of today. Amen? So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and here's the results of discerning of the Lord's body, sacrificing daily, being faithful all the time, bringing the gospel to others. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord had added to the church daily those who were being saved. I love that. And then because of the daily communion, because of the unity of heart, because of their hearts being aligned with God's generosity and their own generosity, watch what happened. There were explosive miracles, the joy of the Lord, the salvation of the lost every single day were being added to the church. There were no unmet needs in the body of Christ, because if somebody had one, somebody said, I'm gonna do something to make that be taken care of. There were no unmet needs. It's New Testament protocol for seeing his church experienced the life that Christ manifested. And cancers will dry up, and tumors will shrink, and blood disorders are restored, and lung function is restored, and liver disease is reversed, and digestion issues are totally restored. all in the name of Jesus, being healed, be whole in Jesus' name, because they practiced the fact that they had his presence every single day. It was reality with them. So prepare yourself in these moments through worship and worth-ship to partake of the table of the Lord. Sanctify yourself. Be forgiven as you extend forgiveness. And I asked you a couple of weeks ago to pray that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, three times a day. And I pray you've had revelation from that. I know I have. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. I believe they had may not have had this chorus, but it was the way their hearts were postured toward the Lord. Hallowed be your name. Because they honored and reverenced. The great fear that came on all of them was the reverence they had for his majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Play that softly, please. Thank you, Lord. I owe a debt I can't pay. But I can honor him with my worth-ship. So we have ushers ready, right? Yeah. Come on. Let's make a special gift to the Lord. Let's put some seed in the ground. Let's say, Lord, I believe. We sang it tonight. I believe. It's the creed of the church. In Jesus, in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the resurrection. I believe. It's more than words on a page. It's worship. It says, it's more than what you can hear from my mouth. It means I'll make a sacrifice above my tithe, and I will say to the Lord, I'm grateful to you, Master. I owe you everything, and with thanksgiving, I place an extra offering in your work so the needs of the house can be met. And the needs of the body can be met. And the projects that you've laid on our heart to do can be taken care of. And somebody is sitting here and you're pondering, well, what are some of those projects? Because I'd like to do more than just give an offering. Well, come and talk to me after service and I'll give you a number attached to some of those projects. Maybe the Holy Spirit will impress on you. Say, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. Pastor, you're called to do what the Scripture says you're called to do. Not worry about finances. You're called, and it's scriptural. You bring the tithe, the Scripture says. Make sure everybody does their best and your offerings so that the priests can go about the business that they're called to and not have to worry about the financial needs of the work of God. So it's going to be good to hear somebody say, that's the project, don't worry about it, it's covered. It's a good thing to do it that way. Amen? So Father, we're grateful. For some of us, it's a double tithe. Today, it's a double tithe. And I do it with joy and gladness and thanksgiving because you whispered in my heart back in my office when I wrote this check. I'm going to multiply it. It's going to grow. It's going to meet needs. So I'm thankful, grateful. What else is there worth living for? and for you, Master. And let that be poured out to every aspect of our family here in the church, the body of Christ. So may your people walk in blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. And for you younger ones who don't even know what a check looks like, you can do it online, okay? Or you can make a pledge on an offering envelope, stick it in there and say, you'll hear from me online tomorrow morning or later tonight. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Sing it, saints. Hallowed be your name. This pure, undefiled, sinless Son of God receives our worship. I can't help but pour myself out on him like an offering because of what he's done for me. So I'm bringing you the living word of God, and it will do what it's assigned to do if we receive his truth with a humble heart. And God sends his word and restores us. Some people in your giving were worshiping. That's the way we should always give. And honoring. And you could care less about what anybody else thinks or does. You're just going to worship God. He responds to that. Keep playing. And responds to that. And sends his word and heals us. So as we prepare to receive his body and blood, you receive his sacrifices, bringing you forgiveness, bringing you healing. There's a correlation between what I'm doing and what he does. Thank God for the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood prevails. His blood is strong enough, listen, to destroy every yoke, to break every chain. We thank God for the power of Jesus' blood. And this is how it went down that night in Jerusalem. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. This is the second time now he's picked up that bread. This time for a new covenant. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So we eat the bread that represents the body of Christ. His body represents healing, the wholeness, the vitality of God. Represents his strength, his power, his fortitude to overcome, the purpose for which he has for his people, and the ability to take everything God promised his church, including that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Decree what the word says about Jesus' body, and we're going to read it aloud. This is what the word of God says about Jesus' body. Let's read it aloud. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Read Romans 8 with me. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Give God thanks for the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life, the blood, the life of God himself. The blood is the life of God himself. That was God's blood that flowed out of Jesus. And we receive life. The cup of forgiveness. We thank God for forgiveness. We declare what God's word says. Read this with me, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We give thanks to God for his provision. Thanks to God for his forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus and a finished work on the cross, he said, it is finished. He said, it's finished. It was finished. We need to remind our bodies, it is finished. Our souls needs a reminder, it is finished. So if you're struggling with illness, we're reminded to call for those to pray for us that we might be healed. And remember, in the process of being physically healed, we are to confess our faults so that we can be forgiven of our sins, because that leads to the healing of soul, mind, and body. I was looking at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15. I want you to listen to this with ears that can hear clearly. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. Paul says, I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, that's what we're about to take, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now let me read it to you from a little easier translation out of the Greek. It says, I'm talking to intelligent people. Judge for yourselves what I'm saying. When we bless the cup of blessing, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? When we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? At Passover in the temple, when the high priest lifted the unleavened bread, behold God's love for you, symbolic of that Passover Exodus. On this table are pieces of unleavened bread that we're going to pass out in just a few moments. I want to call it the bread of presence. I'm going to hold that bread, and some of you will as well. It's a visible sign of his presence, that he's with us. And tonight we will lift the bread and the cup. When we do, we have a visible sign that Jesus is with us. When we bless the cup of blessing, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? When we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? On the road to Emmaus, right after the resurrection. The scripture says of several of Jesus' disciples, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Their eyes were kept. It's a phenomenal insight the Holy Spirit gives us. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But when he lifted the bread, began to break it, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And they begged Jesus, stay with us. But their prayer was answered, even though he disappeared from them. Because that prayer being answered, the breaking of bread at his table, he answered their prayers for the rest of their lives. And he still answers our prayers. I am with you always until the end of time. And every time I pick up that bread and I pick up that cup, I know he's with me till the end of the age. Because this is sacred. It's the bread of his presence. And so I'm going to ask those who are serving, if you would, to come forward and let's take our places. And we're going to right now share the table of the Lord. And I hope with a revelation like that's opened our hearts and our eyes to the truth of what Jesus has done for us. And recognize his glory and his goodness and his presence. And we've read you the scripture and we've talked to you about the presence of Jesus at this time.